نعم الجليس مدى حياتك مصحف يجلو هموم النفس والوجدان فيه الهداية والسعادة والرضا وهو الدليل لجنة الرحمن.
عن عثمان بن عفان رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. رواه البخاري. Uthman bin Affan, may Allah be pleased with him, reported, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best amongst you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches it. This hadith can be found in Sahih Bukhari.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You're welcome to Quran Saiku Mustafa. And still on our series, Journey with the Hufaz, we bring you a special episode today. This episode is special because we're hosting two of our Hufaz in a dual session that have completed their memorization of the entire Quran. Allahu Akbar. It is my pleasure to welcome today Ustaz Hafiz Ahmad Muhammad and Ustaz Hafiz Abdul Sabu Ismail. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
نعم الحمد لله. Can you tell our listeners a bit about yourself and what you do and why you're particularly excited to be on this show today?
نعم. I am Abdusabur Ismail, a student of Civil Engineering 300 level University of Lagos. I'm quite excited that I'm here today because I feel it's a privilege, and it is by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have achieved this feat that makes me qualified to be here today. Alhamdulillah for that.
I am Muhammad Ahmed, a 300 level student of University of Lagos studying actuarial science and insurance. I'm very, very delighted to be here today to share my story so it can serve as a motivation for those that are planning to memorize the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it as act of ibadah.
Ameen, Ya Sheikh Muhammad, Ameen. So I'm going to start with you, Ustaz Muhammad. Tell us, what does it truly mean to be an hafiz?
For someone to be called an hafiz, the person has to have memorized the Quran completely and also abide by its injunctions. That is why you can't just call someone an hafiz and the person is not complying with the rulings of the Quran and its teachings.
Naam, shukran, Ustaz Muhammad. And over to you, Ustaz Abdul Sabu. What do you think about this? Who is an hafiz to you?
Yeah, just like my brother has said, an hafiz is someone that has committed the whole Quran to his heart. And it is not just by memorizing from Fatiha to Nas, but he understands the rulings, he works with the injunctions, he lives with the Quran. That is the person that we can actually call an hafiz. So many of us today that we just say hafiz, we actually not yet fit to be called that name hafiz. Just pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we reach that, inshallah.
Naam, shukran jazilan ya ustad. So I'm just going to ask this before we delve deep into your journeys. Is it necessary for an aspiring hafiz to understand the Arabic language before starting his or her memorization?
Personally, with experience, would see that people tend to have memorized the Quran even when they don't understand Arabic language, and it kind of helps because they started this journey at a very tender age, so they just go to learn Arabic and understand the meaning. I remember reading a book of Yusuf Qaradawi, How to Approach the Quran, and was saying that he met a boy in one country and the boy could recite the Quran fluently without any flaw. But Masmuk, what is your name? This boy doesn't understand. This is the beauty of the Quran. It is just like the miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on the Quran. So basically, Arabic language would not be our own first point of view before we now say we want to start memorizing the Quran. We can actually start memorizing the Quran, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the understanding of the language, then we'll be able to match both together and would appreciate what we have memorized more. Allahu a'lam.
Well said, Ustaz Abdul Sabo. Well said. Now, Ustaz Muhammad, what's your take on this? Is it a requisite for one to understand the Arabic language, either basic or not, before starting his or her journey towards the Quran?
I'm not of the opinion that understanding Arabic language is a prerequisite for memorizing the Quran, because we have people that have memorized the whole Quran without even knowing the meaning of basic Arabic words like Jalas and Dawaba, and they memorize the whole Quran. But what I can say is that it's an advantage, really, because I could remember when I was memorizing the Quran, the way I memorize is that I will listen to the recitation of the page, then I listen to the meaning, I commit the meaning into my memory. Then the next time I'm listening to the recitation again, you know, I'm following it with the meaning. So when I'm memorizing, it makes it easy to stick to my memory. So I would say it's a very, very huge advantage, but it's not a prerequisite.
Naam, shukran for the clarification on that. I think that point should be clear to all our listeners by now, that it is not a requisite for one to understand the basic Arabic language before starting his or her journey towards memorizing the Quran. Rather, it aids in memorization. If one can learn the Arabic language, that is fine. It would aid in the understanding as well. Hope Allah makes that easy. Ameen. So moving on, I know you both to be close companions. So tell us, did you both memorize the Quran together? And if not, how did you both go about your memorization?
Naam, actually, we did not memorize together. Fortunately, we met in our secondary school. So that is where our journey began. But then we did not memorize our Quran together. Like, our journey was not in any way the same. So my journey started from primary school, like when I was 5 years. You know, for some of us, we did not actually put much effort in the whole of this. We were entitled by the grace Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us through our parents. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and make them reap the fruits of their labor. Ameen. So the whole journey started from my home. I went to a private Islamic school. So obviously we learned Quran and all. So by 5, I already knew Surat al-Naba. By 7, I could recite the Quran. Then by the time I finished primary school, I already completed Juz Amma. So going to Vanguard, that was my secondary school where I met Brother Muhammad Ahmad. I memorized 5 Juz in Vanguard, so making 6. Then after that, I went to a Quran school in Ibadan, where I memorized up to 20 Juz now. So making like 26. Then I completed the rest on my own.
We didn't memorize together. I met Absorbo in secondary school, and my own journey started way before that. My first Hafiz school was my mom. I memorized Juz Amma under my mom when I was, I think, 6 or 7 years. And after then, I continued in my secondary school. And when I was necessary, at the end of my secondary school, I memorized up to 5 Juz. So after my secondary school, I went to Madrasa, Al-Ma'adul Arabi at Ibadan. And I do memorize on my own, but it wasn't consistent. Like, I would just pick a surah and memorize. I could remember I memorized Maryam, Taha, Luqman, Sajda, Safat, Sad, Zumar, and some other surahs. So I didn't have it in mind that I will memorize the whole Quran as at then. Fast forward to 2017, I started Tafsir school, Al-Mu'assasat al-Insaniyya al-Khayriyya, where I finished my memorization. Yeah.
MashaAllah. You both pretty much traded different paths to the Quran. You know, I'd always thought probably you memorized the Quran together, because I know you both to be pretty close. Regardless, there was a link I saw between your stories, and that was the influence of parents, showing that, you know, parents can play a vital role in the lives of their children towards their journey to the Quran. We pray Allah makes that easy for all parents out there. Ameen. So moving on, we're really going to appreciate if you take us through some personal challenges you encountered whilst memorizing the Quran, and tell us how you overcame those challenges.
Naam. The path was not a smooth one, and there are a lot of challenges in them that could serve as lessons for many and for myself. It started from when I was young. Like, before then, I used to look at the Quran as something that was easy. Though I never thought of it that I'm going to memorize the whole of it, because at that point in time, I've not heard anyone say memorize the whole Quran or something. Maybe all this time I was 6, 7. So, but I just knew that, okay, this thing is easy. I could read it. I loved it. Then when I was 10, one time I read about Abdulrahman Sudez and I saw that he memorized the Quran at the age of 12. Then someone was telling me that that's like a 2-year plan for me. I was just looking at the person, this is close to impossible, because I've not even reached the level of Abdulrahman Sudez, who is there to teach me the Quran. I've not known any Hafiz yet that would learn the Quran from him and all. But I just knew at the back of my mind that, okay, yes, people actually do memorize the whole Quran. Getting to Vanguard and we started memorizing the Quran, it became an habit for us. And the first lesson that memorizing the Quran taught me, and it was like a challenge too, it happened when I was in JS2 or JS1. One day I was praying alone, I think Salatul Duha or something. So, you know, you'd actually want to try out what you've memorized. So probably you're already ready that, yes, this is what you're going to read on this surah. But on starting the surah, I realized that I was making mistakes in Suratul Fatiha. I could not recite Suratul Fatiha. Like, I was making mistakes. I knew that something was missing. But I just continued and read the surah, finished the surah, then went to Quran and I checked. Then I realized that I was not nurturing my residual knowledge. The way everything was, like, you know, Suratul Fatiha is something that we recite like 17 times every day, but then I was not leading any salah. It meant that I was not paying attention to it when it was being recited. It just felt like something that was there. Many of these things, we actually did not memorize them with the wordings. Like, I just knew that, okay, yeah, Mangbo, we heard these things, so I just memorized it like that. I memorized Naziat, Mutafifin, all those Juz'a Masra. So it was when we now started going up, and I, okay, yes, this is Zubit, Zubun Ayin that is here, this is Zubun Shahid that is here, not Shadid. We memorized it, we just memorized it from the tongue of our stars. And many of these things, we are not paying much attention to it. So, Alhamdulillah, that I got that lesson at a very young age, then when I was 11 or 10. Got the lesson that you have to nurture the residual knowledge that you have. The Quran would always stay as a residual knowledge. The fact that you've even memorized the whole Quran now, it means that it will be there as a residual knowledge. Then how you manage it is what matters. You see many people that they call themselves Hafiz, 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 Hafiz. And yet, what they remember in portions of the Quran are different. Some would recite the whole Quran without mistake. Some cannot recite any surah without mistake. And they call themselves Hufaz. Like, this one will claim Hafiz, this one too will claim Hafiz. What is different is the way they manage their residual knowledge. That's number one. Then number two, consistency. Yeah, consistency was like the basic lesson that I learned in memorizing the Quran. Why? Because when I was at Ibadan, we memorize it as the day comes. You are memorizing this portion per day, and that is what you are going to memorize. So whether you don't memorize it, you are going to carry it over. So you know that you just have to cover for it. But when I got out, I saw that I could do things at my own pace, and consistency became an issue. That is the reason why I took longer time to complete the remaining juzus that I've not memorized than the time I used to memorize the 20 juzus that I memorized in Ibadan, because of consistency. Another lesson for us.
I didn't face much challenges, but I would share the little I remember. The first one was when I was small, when I was memorizing juzu amma for my mom. I memorized the old juzu amma, but I didn't attach the names of the surahs to them. I mean, the surahs in Juzu Amma. So, and that was the problem for me. When I went for a competition where I represented my primary school when I was in primary four, in Quran competition, the question I was given was to recite surah to Ghosh, yeah. But the fact that I didn't attach the names of the surah to them, so I lost. But I remember that a surah started with Al-Qariya. Al-Qariya, that's surah to Qariya. So that was what was coming to my mind. But I knew what I'd add was to recite Surah to Ghosh, yeah. So that was how I mixed the whole thing up, and I ended up reciting Al-Ghosh, yeah. So that was the first challenge I had. So I had to go back and check the names and attach them to the surahs. So that was one. Then another challenge I faced was when I was in Tahfidh school. I was praying for jam then, when I started Tahfidh. I was going for tutorial in the morning, then I'm coming back to Tahfidh school in the evening. That's 2:30 to 6. So it was very, very stressful. We started with 2 pages when we started memorizing from Bakwa. So I had to memorize the 2 pages before leaving in the morning, so that when I come back in the evening, I will just revise what I've memorized and I'll read it. So that was how I managed myself. Because if I don't memorize in the morning, it becomes a problem for me. I have to start struggling to memorize at tutorial, which will also affect tutorial's work. So the best thing for me then was to memorize very early in the morning and or tajwid time and revise it before reading it in the evening. So that was one. Then another thing is, after my jump, okay, I went for post-jump in Unilag. So I spent close to a month, like 3 weeks or so. So, and I said I was competing with my friends. So when I came back, I was far behind. They were very much ahead of me. So that alone, it paralyzed me. But on the other hand, it was also a form of motivation, because some of them are done with their memorization, while some had just maybe 2 or 3 juzus to finish, while I had like 8 or 7. So I had to start memorizing more than I was memorizing earlier. So I was memorizing like 4 pages minimum. Then I got some surahs that I have memorized before, so it made the memorization easy. Sometimes I remember I memorized 7 in a particular day, sometimes 6, sometimes 5. So that was how I was memorizing at a very fast rate, so that I could finish up and start my Mawaja. So that's another challenge for me. Then another one was during the month of Ramadan. I was unable to memorize. Like, I was just down. I couldn't memorize. Sometimes I would memorize and I would be crying. Like, nothing is entering my head. So I had to just struggle in order to meet up with others. Sometimes I won't be able to read a page. Sometimes I read just a page, while others are memorizing 2 pages, 3 pages. So that time, I was unable to figure out what the problem is. I was just down, headache, temperature. I wasn't myself then. But Alhamdulillah, I later catch up with others when we got to Tahfidh camp, because we went for a 2-month camp after Ramadan. So when we got to the camp, I was able to catch up with others and we continued like that. Alhamdulillah.
Naam, Alhamdulillah. Wa barakallahu feekum ayudan. So it seems you both are the first share of memorizing alone and attending a Tahfidh program. Which would you recommend to all aspiring memorizers of the Quran out there?
Personally, I would recommend that you memorize in an organized school that is meant for that. It may not be a Tahfidh school, but probably maybe Tahfidh classes like the one University of Lagos would do every morning. A constant something where you are in the whole environment of the Quran with them. In that way, you would be motivated, you'll be guided, you would not be doing things at your own pace. I can share from a personal experience. When I was in Al-Qura in Ibadan, we used to memorize 4 pages per day. And as I said, it was like a continuous something when a class. So if you don't memorize your own 4 pages, the class still continues and we are going to memorize the next 4 pages the next day. So in that way, you know that when you don't memorize any of the pages in the previous day, it is at your detriment, because you are going to be carrying it over. And at the end of the whole exercise, you would have to stay back to memorize those things that you've dropped. I remember when I was sick for like 2 days, the whole of Surah At-Taha, 10 pages, I memorized just 2 out of the 10 because I was sick for 2 days. So I had to catch up later with others. That is what being in the company of people that are memorizing with you would do. So in that way, while memorizing other surahs, I made sure that I was going to catch up with my Surah At-Taha. Not that I gave Surah At-Taha another special time again on his own, then I will not take time. I remember when I was memorizing alone, there are days that I memorize 2, 3, 4, 5 sometimes pages in a day. And because I've memorized maybe like 5 pages today, tomorrow I'll be so relaxed and I say, let me just memorize one or let me just rest for today. Those inconsistencies are the things that memorizing alone will do for you. And it will be a disadvantage for you yourself. But being in the company of people that you are memorizing together, you'll be motivated and you would want to do more. You would want to strive to goodness. You'll be like the prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in the home, kanu yusari'una fil khayrat. They are striving towards goodness. So you'd want to do the same and like that.
Now, personally, I feel memorizing in a coordinated tafsir is better, like far better than memorizing alone. You see people memorizing Quran within 6 months in a tahfiz school. I mean coordinated tahfiz school. You can't see someone memorizing on his own and it tells you that it finished the memorization of the Quran within a year. It's not possible. Like, it's very, very rare. So when you are in a coordinated tahfiz school, they coordinate your affairs. Okay, you have to memorize this particular portion in a day. If you are the one lacking behind, it does not affect others. So you are the one that will have to make up time in order to meet up. But if you are memorizing alone, okay, even if you set that goal for yourself that you want to be memorizing maybe 2 pages in a day, okay, today now maybe there is a party or your family is doing particular occasion, so you are unable to memorize that 2 pages, you won't be able to make up for it tomorrow because you are the coordinator of yourself. If you want, you can decide that okay, today I'm not memorizing and nothing will happen. Nobody holds you responsible for it. So I feel memorizing in the coordinated tafsir school makes it easier and it's a high level of motivation because you are memorizing with other prospective hufad. They are also striving towards achieving that completion of the Quran. So it's a form of motivation. And also the environment. When you are in a coordinated environment, you tend to memorize more than you are in your comfort zone. Let me say it that way. You tend to memorize more than when you are in your comfort zone. So I feel memorizing in a tafsir school is way better than memorizing alone.
Interesting. So in addition to what you both said, I'm just going to add, for somebody who is a working class person, he or she might find going to a tafsir program difficult. And I think one of the best ways to bypass that is to get a standard ustadh that would take you through that journey, that would coordinate your affairs and then structure your memorization for you. That would ease your memorization process, bismillahi ta'ala. So if you cannot attend a tafiz program, we should try and get a standard ustadh that will take us through our personal memorization, and we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that easy for us all. Ameen. So another question is, I know you both engage in helping people memorize the Quran. What common challenges have you identified so far amidst the memorizers of the Quran, and what are the possible solutions to these challenges?
Okay, number one is some people do memorize Quran not even clear about the reason why they are memorizing the Quran, so it affects their determination and focus. So some people memorize Quran just because their roommates are memorizing Quran, their roommates are going to tafsir class, while some people memorize because maybe the pressure coming from home is too much. So that affects your focus because you are not convinced, you yourself personally, you are not convinced that you should memorize the Quran. So it affects a lot. But when you have it in mind that, okay, I'm the one memorizing and this is the reason why I'm memorizing the Quran, so it keeps you moving, it keeps you focused. And another thing is consistency. You see people telling you today that, I want to memorize Quran in the next 2 years. And they start memorizing it a page per day, a page per day. It gets to a point that they lose focus and they end up not coming to tahfidh. Then maybe like a period after that, you see them coming back and telling you that I have changed, I've made resolutions, and it gets to a point that they stop again. So that's consistency.
Now, this is relative. There are some challenges that they are common and there are some that they are not common, they just happen to individuals. When you hear some challenge, you'll be like, is this really a challenge? I did not have this challenge. And the same way some people would see your challenge as weird or new. But the most common one I must point out is Mawaja. Students don't give the energy that they give to memorizing, they don't give it to revising. They just feel that if they memorize, it can go stored somewhere and they'll keep memorizing and the thing will continue being stored, and by the time they need it, it will just come handy. It doesn't work like that. What works is memorize, revise, memorize, revise, so that by the time you need the ones you've memorized some days ago, it will come handy. The way we do it in our mothers are then, we repeat all what we've memorized, we repeat them. We are nurturing our residual knowledge. When we memorize Surah to Maryam, we repeat Surah to Maryam every day. We have like the same number of sessions for memorizing, the same number of sessions for revising. So that means if you are doing four classes for memorization, you are doing four classes for revision, and you'll be doing both together. By the time we reach Surah to Toha, we must recite Surah to Maryam and Surah to Toha every day. By the time we reach Anbiya, we must recite Maryam, Toha, Anbiya every day. Like that, like that, like that. So that you would not forget all what you memorized. That's number one. Number two is, some people, they lose the motivation and the zeal at some point because they'll feel, okay, what's the purpose? Because I want to become an Hafiz. Then I don't think this is possible for me anymore. And they will just stop. And it's not supposed to be like that. At some point in time, I stopped memorizing in my mother's house and it affected me because I had to catch up for it later when others were already going. Nobody told me before I continued memorizing. It was because I was losing hope. I was losing the zeal. I was losing the motivation. I did not see the reason to memorize again. Also, at some point in time, I had to continue. Some people will come and tell you that, I don't think I can memorize again. It is clashing with some things. And you'll be like, really? You can always take this thing at your own pace. If you are memorizing 2 pages per day, if you want to stop 2 pages because it is too much, continue with one. Don't say you are not memorizing. Continue with half. You can take quarter. You can take 1 page for 5 days. It is better than stop memorizing. And then, after some period of time, you will not come again. I want to continue. Then you've lost so many days in between just because you wanted everything to come at your disposal. You do not want anything that would make you go beyond your comfort zone. And that is one major problem that people have.
Another key challenge is the aspect of muraja, I mean revision. And that comes from your memorization itself. If your memorization is sound, your muraja will be easy for you. But if your memorization is not sound from the onset, trust me, your muraja will be very difficult for you to do. So that is why you have to start from your memorization. Let it be sound. Repeat it several times as much as possible, so that by the time you are revising, it will be difficult for you. And what I notice is that the places that are difficult for you in memorization becomes easy for you in revision. And that is because you've repeated it several times for it to stick to your memory. So by the time you are revising, it will be easy for you. But portions that are easy for you to memorize, for example, portions that you are familiar with, you know, you won't waste time on it. So by the time you are revising, it becomes difficult for you to recollect. So that is why it is very important that you make your memorization sound, so that your revision also will be sound. Then you have to set your goals before you start memorizing. Okay, this is the duration I want to use to memorize. This is how I want to achieve it. I want to be memorizing a page per day. I want to be using my weekends for revision. So you have to set that goal like that. Then you follow it. So it makes it easy for you to be focused. But when you just memorize anyhow without having a set target, you lose focus easily. Just like I said, when you memorize because your roommates are going for tahfiz and you also want to join them in memorizing, you lose focus easily because you do not set that personal target for yourself that this is what I want to achieve at the end of this particular period. So it also affects a lot. So it is very important also to combine your memorization with muraja. That is, immediately you are memorizing, you start revising it. You don't pile up muraja because it will affect you by the time you are ready to do it. The way the Prophet ﷺ described the Quran, he said, "Lahu ashaddu tafallutan min al-ibli fi ukuliha." That is, it fastens in leaving the memory, min al-ibli fi ukuliha, than a tied camel. The nature of a camel is that when it's tied, it always maneuvers its way in order to be free. So the Prophet ﷺ said, the Quran fastens in leaving the memory than a tied camel fastens in untying itself and moving around. So when you memorize, maybe you start memorizing today, you want to memorize half of the Quran, then you start from Bakara. You memorize like that, till Kaf. By the time you want to do the revision, you want to start your revision from Bakara. It should be as if you are memorizing again, because that would be like some months after you've memorized it and you didn't go back to it at all. So it is important that when you're memorizing, you start your revision immediately and you continue it steadily like that.
One other challenge that people have is some people kind of give themselves these levels that I can do this myself, and many of them can't do it without proper guidance. Many. I remembered that you memorize some portions in the Quran and you feel, okay, it is just normal thing that is here and that is what you memorize. But then what is there is different, and it is only a teacher that would have told you that. And so that's Ibrahim verse 2. If I'm memorizing normally, I'll just memorize like I used to see something like Allahu ladhi. But it is Allahi that is there, and you will not know. But you feel, I can do this myself. I can recite the Quran myself, so I can actually memorize myself. In Surah Al-Fusilat, Jamiyun wa Arabi. Some people will just memorize Jamiyun wa Arabi because they've not heard it from anyone. They are not guided by any teacher. They are just doing this thing themselves, feeling that it's a journey that I can do myself and I don't need anybody with me. With the Quran, at least, you must be guided by a teacher or an ustaz. Someone that will take you through these things, the recitation, and will make you understand some rulings in it. Quran is not something that you recite without rulings. It's not something that you just recite the way you want it. That is another challenge that people tend to have. They feel, since the Quran is something that is handy, I can take the Quran anytime and I can read it. They feel they can go through that journey themselves. And it used to cause a lot of things. Example is the recitation part. Example is the consistency. Example is they will not have a style to go on with. They'll just try different ones. When this one don't work, they would feel down. They will start another one. And all these things would result into breakdown at some point. But when you have someone that guides you through everything, it becomes very, very easy.
Naam. Sadaqtuma, wallahi, sadaqtuma. I hope your points have been well taken by all our listeners. And so we move on. It is now a custom on Quran Cycle that we tell our guests to tell us their best surah and recite a portion of it to us, and as well share some lessons from it. So we really appreciate if you can do that for us.
Okay, now my best surah is Maryam. And that's number one because of the rhyming, and also if you could recall, it was part of the surah I said I memorized on my own. More like the first surah I memorized after the first five juz. And I memorized it using a recital. Shall we?
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Qala inni abdullahi atani al-kitaba wa ja'alani nabiyya. وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا وبرا بوالدتي ولم يجعلني جبارا شقيا والسلام علي يوم ولدت ويوم أموت ويوم أبعث حيا ذلك عيسى بن مريم قول الحق الذي فيه يمترون ما كان لله أن يتخذ من ولد سبحانه إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون.
صدق الله العظيم.
Now my best surah is Surah Al-Maryam, and yes, you can say Surah to Yusuf. So basically it is just because they have unique stories. Like the verses that motivate me in the Quran mostly are the ones that our story, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating to us from the past. Now, but I'm going to recite a verse that is not in the two surah, but then it's talking about one of them, and that is Maryam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was reconfirming the status that he has placed Maryam with, that verse just have its way of catching my attention mostly, and I can say that is the verse I love the most in the Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his angel to tell Maryam that she has been chosen, purified, and he has chosen her over all the women in the world, that is a very big something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose you over everyone in the world, because it is a grace that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gift whoever he wishes, and it is one thing that we have to note. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give his grace to whoever he wishes of his servants. I think that's just the lesson there. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ قالت الملائكة يا مريم إن الله اصطفاك وطهرك واصطفاك على نساء العالمين يا مريم اقنتي لربك واسجدي واركعي مع الراكعين. صدق الله العظيم.
The verses in the Quran that inspires me most are verses talking about rahmah, that is mercy, and punishment. So one of the verses that inspires me most talking about rahmah is the verse in Surah 2 where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ, that those that believe, وَاتَّبَعَتُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ, was talking about the image of paradise, وَاتَّبَعَتُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ, and those and their offsprings followed them in this belief, that is, they also believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before they died. Al-haqqa bi dhurriyyatihim, that those offspring, you are going to bring them forth to be with them. Wa ma alasnahum min amalihim, which will not affect their own enjoyment. That is, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that those that will be in paradise, they will be in a happy state. So, and you cannot be happy knowing that your offspring are somewhere suffering. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to perfect that happiness by bringing forth their offspring to be with them on that day. That tells us Allah's rahmah on his ibad. And the one of punishment is the one in Surah to Nisa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَوْفَ نُسْلِيهِمْ نَارًا كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ. That those that disbelieve, they're going to enter hell. كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا. The moment their skin is peeling off, but the love, the load, and we are going to replace it with another one. So they could feel the pain of the fire. So that is to tell us that Allah's subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment can never be compared to that of the punishment in this world. The punishment in this world, even if you be burnt to death, after your flesh is gone, that's all, and you die. But in the hell, la yamutu fiha wa la yahya. So there, their skin will be replaced. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not count us among those that will be in hell.
Ameen.
Allahumma ajigna min al-nar. Allahumma ajigna min khizil nar. Allahumma ajigna min kulli amali yuqaribna ila al-nar. Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Rabb al-Alamin.
Ameen.
Then there is this verse in Surah Yusuf, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was narrating what happened between Yusuf and his brothers. They were saying that when they finally found the king's cup in his brother's belongings, and I said, "Kadhalika kidna li Yusuf," this is just like the plan we had for Yusuf. Ma kana liya'khudha akhahu fi din al-malki illa inshallah. He did not take his brother in the king's permission, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed it, and it became a burden on his brothers, like the other brothers, that they have one of them in the custody of the king that they've called thief. And last one, Allah was not saying that. Now found the wajatim man nasha huwa fawqa kulli dhi ilmin alim. That thus we would elevate the status of anyone we want, any one of our servants that we wish. Wa fawqa kulli dhi ilmin alim. And above everyone that thinks he has knowledge is alim, the all-knowing. So like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to tell us that he is the all-knower. Even when you think you have knowledge, then you just have to sit back sometimes and say, "Wa fawqa kulli dhi ilmin alim." Beyond all this knowledge that I'm thinking I have, there is someone that is his knowledge, that his knowledge of everything, even with what you know. What you know is minute compared to what is in his own store. Above everyone that claims that he has knowledge, above every possessor of knowledge, is Alim, the All-Knower.
Wallahi, such beautiful recitations from you both. And subhanAllah, the lessons are so touching and so apt. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify all our affairs and make us understand better the lessons therein. Ameen. We're going to end this session with this last question. I know you both to be really close friends. Imagine two Hufaz being close friends. You're probably going to share a really cool Quran bromance with each other. So tell us some of the things you do to challenge and motivate each other.
Ah, that's a big question. Yeah, actually, he's my friend. A friend that I would not call friend again because we've left the level of friends. So we call ourselves brothers now. How do we motivate ourselves? How do we challenge ourselves? At present, we have a merger plan together. Then sometimes, I remember a time we went for a competition together. Others are like the best days together because we stayed like in a secluded place for like a week and we were doing merger alone, like just both of us. So, and those days were days that you get motivated with the way the other person is nurturing his own residual knowledge. You'll be surprised that, wow, this person's moja is, like, his moja is very, very good, better than mine. So I try to look up to him and continue at that pace too. And so there are sometimes that I would want to increase my own point of moja too, because I want to actually meet up with the way he has done his own in that regard. And beyond Quran, we kind of share some things together. Okay, that sometimes I probably not know some hadith or anything, then I'll go to him and so basically that's what we do. And okay, in MSSN Unilag Tahfiz class 2, we are like taking our own class together. So basically those are the things that is our togetherness that motivates us and our togetherness that challenges us. Because when you know that you are going with someone that is not relaxing, you know that you have to up your own game too, so that you would not be going with someone that by the time people would check both of you, they would see that you are far below. So you would have to, both of you would want to keep up with yourself so that you'd balance it. And it's kind of a very great motivation. We know the popular saying, show me your friend and I'll tell you who you are. So you would not be working with Yusuf Kordoi and you would want to be Olodo. That's it.
Absabu is not just a friend. He's a mentor, he's a brother, he's a motivator, he's a form of motivation himself. Because we've done series of things together that was motivated by Absabu. A lot of good things. That is why it is very important when you are choosing a friend. That friendship has to be a friendship that will add value in you, not a friendship that will reduce you in knowledge. I've learned a lot of things from Absabu. Apart from Quran, generally, Islamic knowledge, Absabu is very, very vast. So that was part of the reason why I chose to be his friend, and we motivate each other, actually. So there are some things that Absabu will not know, which is very rare, that I would be opportunity to know. And there are a lot of things that I don't know, like a lot of things that I'm very, very sure Absabu will know. I would just ask him, Absabu, what's this, what's that? And he will explain. Verses of the Quran, I don't even know the meaning or the sabab al-nuzul. Absabu will be there to explain. So Absabu has been a very good friend, really. He motivates me a lot. There are a lot of things that I won't be motivated to do if not for Absabu.
MashaAllah, such a wonderful friendship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you both in this world and the after. Ameen. Also, I want to say a big Jazakumullahu khairan to you guys for sparing out time to have this beautiful session with us. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Ameen wa antum ustaz.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you both in daraja in this world and the year after.
Ameen.
Shukran lakum. So that's it, guys. This is where we end our session today. We really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please do share this with your friends and families. Jazakumullah khairan as you do so. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وهو الدليل لجنة الرحمن.